What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 130 of Valuetown. I'm Chanman V, and joining me today, of course, are my co-hosts Ali Straza and Jackie Chan. What's up?
Hello.
Hey.
Sorry for the late start, guys. Everybody out there too, man. My new rig, which has already been giving me headaches for like a week and a half now, decided just to poop out literally 1 minute before the show started. So thankfully, my old rig, my good old faithful, is still here, and we're able to continue doing the show. But want to welcome our first-time guest, Ant. What's up, buddy?
Hey. Doing okay. How are you?
Good, man. Fresh back from Shanghai. You had a longer stay in Shanghai than Ali did, so...
Yeah.
Have you recovered yet? Are you back on the sleeping schedule?
No. Absolutely not. I'm getting like 2 hours of sleep. Like, I'm taking a lot of naps right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta suck it up like one day. One day you just gotta be tired as can be, and then just that hopefully will reset you back to whatever the time's supposed to be.
But, yeah, I'm hoping my trip to Atlanta is going to do that, because like my flight's at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just hoping I'm going to get there and just crash.
5 okay. 5 a.m. flight. Oof.
Okay, yeah. That's DreamHack, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Gosh, I feel like there's a DreamHack like every week now. It's insane. So cool, though. Definitely really, really great. Jackie, how about you, man? How you been this week?
Good. I've just been memeing around as usual. I've never actually been to a DreamHack. Would you advise going?
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I've never been to a DreamHack.
I think I'm going to this one more because I want to see a lot of people. So I think it's fun to go see like a lot of people you see online and you talk to online. But yeah, I think they're really fun events. You should at least try one in your Hearthstone life.
Yeah, I'd love to.
The DreamHack events are probably the most grueling ones, though. Like in terms of the event itself, right? Like, it's because it's Swiss. There's not that many that are Swiss, and
a lot of waiting around.
Yeah, but it's the most competitive one, though. Like every time I went to Austin once, and I even remember Summer like way back. Like they were all really really good. And they keep the same format, all of them. So it's really, I think it's a big feat to win DreamHack. That's the biggest thing. You know, like, it arguably is the hardest tournament outside of HTT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good stuff. But enough DreamHack talk. We've got, we've got a lot to talk about today, just with a combination of obviously having Ant here joining us. And we've got just a bit of community news. And we've been playing all kinds of different decks. We've got a new segment, Deck Evolution, that we were going to be doing. No bumpers today, guys. I know you guys were like crazy about just how loud they were. We can't do them today just because it was on my other machine. So we'll bring them back next week. But we do have a new segment that's going to be us bringing our decks and combining them to make this like beautiful, all our powers combined, you know, kind of thing, making an awesome deck.
Beautiful or terrible.
Yeah, beautiful or terrible. But whatever it is, it's deck of the week, guys. All right, so get ready for that. And then Mechatorx Workshop, of course, and then Q&A at the very end. But I want to start off by getting a chance to visit with Ant here, given that he's our guest. So you were in Shanghai for that long. Tell us about the experience. This is your first time in China, right?
Yeah, it's actually my first time international. So,
oh wow,
yeah, it was a cool experience. I've lived in California all my life, so I was not ready for the humidity there.
Oh really? It's that hot over there? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. Right now. I think there was like record heats there, but I mean, it was still pretty warming. Cool, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of AC in the places that we went.
That's cool. Like competition wise though, like did you enjoy the setup and do they take care of you and all that good stuff?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like nothing I've ever experienced. It's just so, I can't even like find the words for it. It's because, you know, there's like this big stage, it's like this huge backstage, there's all this production. It's just like hard to take in.
It's a lot different than playing at your home, right? Or at BWWs, right?
Yeah, seriously. It's a big change.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was great getting a chance to, you know, see you and up on the stage and doing super well. And I thought the piece that they did on you was like excellent too, you know, like just the piece with just the whole background and your mom and everything, that was really really good.
I was hoping that came out good. They sent this whole like crew to my house to do the video,
mm-hmm.
and wow. I had no idea how it was gonna turn out. So I'm glad it was really well received.
Yeah, I think it was being spread on Twitter like quite a bit too. So
yeah.
You know, kudos to obviously the production team for doing that. And you know, I think your backstory is obviously great. And it's, I think it's one that's the whole point of HCT, right? Is to really have a story that's pretty similar to that. You know, just mm-hmm. playing Hearthstone, just decided to play Hearthstone and want to give it a go. And all of a sudden, you know, you're in China and on a big stage, possibly winning a lot of money, right?
Yeah, it's still hard to think about. I still kind of feel like I'm dreaming. Like, there's no way this could be happening right now.
Well, imagine being on the BlizzCon stage because, you know, you're obviously qualified for it, right? So that's always, I know that's always an awesome experience for players too. But
so
you played a tournament after the HCT also, right? Which one mm-hmm. was that? I'm not sure a lot of people got a chance to watch that.
That was the Titan R LAN final.
Right.
Yeah, so they had like an online qualifier for like China, and then they had it for EU and A like combined, and they took the top 8 of those tournaments and they fought it out, and it wasn't Shanghai, it was Nanjing, but it was still in China.
Yeah, Nanjing, that's not too far, right? I can't remember my Chinese geography. I probably shouldn't even guess because
it was like a 2-hour train ride.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not well experienced with trains because I got off on the wrong station when I was coming back.
Oh, no.
Crazy.
You have to get another train back again? Or like?
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was the right place. So you have to have like a Chinese number to sign into the Wi-Fi. So I had to like try to communicate with someone who doesn't speak English.
Oh, my man.
A
lot of...
If I can use their number to log into the Wi-Fi, so they finally understood what I was trying to say. And then I got a hold of, because I was supposed to be traveling with Eloise, so I got a hold of Eloise, and she saved me. She bought me a ticket back and everything.
Oh,
told me how to get my ticket.
Lifesaver, Eloise.
And then
when I got to
Shanghai, she already had like Starbucks ready for me.
Aww.
It was great.
Man, Eloise is a sweetheart, man. Total sweetheart. That's like my worst nightmare. My worst nightmare is being in a country where I can't speak the language and there's no way to communicate with anybody. I'm totally screwed.
I was just like pointing at my phone like, Wi-Fi? Wi-Fi?
the Google Translator app. You can like...
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just forgot about it.
Oh, okay.
smooth. Good job.
That's cool, man. So overall, how do you think you played? Like, you know, first time being on the stage, were you nervous or you felt like you just played like you normally do?
I would say like my first game, I was like pretty nervous. You know, like no one ever wants to show that they're nervous or say that they're nervous, but man, like I was really nervous. Oh. Especially because like I was like super favored, so like to go in and lose would feel so bad,
right?
Yeah, that's true. That's a lot of pressure. Man, I don't know about you guys, but I was telling Antlet last night. It's like I should have picked you for my packs because everybody I pick. Well, actually, I shouldn't have picked you because you're lucky if I don't pick you because the person I pick doesn't end up winning anything. But how did you guys end up doing? I don't think I even asked Allie and Jackie. Who did you guys pick for? Did you guys get packs or anything?
I did. I picked Kalento. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I got some packs.
Yeah, I didn't even do it in time. I was going to pick Kalento, but I didn't even do it in time. So I missed out on some packs, man.
I picked and missed out on packs too. So actually, I might have gotten one. Do you get one for doing it? I forget. Do you get one for signing?
Yeah, you get one.
For signing up. So yeah, I got one.
Yeah.
So Kalento, man. Fact.
He had 90% of the votes.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what they told us, at least. That might be made up, but that's what people were telling me.
That Chinese vote, man. That Chinese vote. Strong, dude.
Chinese, like, loved Kalena.
Strong.
Did you pick yourself? Yeah. Or did you pick
someone? Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right, dude.
I got a nice 3 packs coming.
You gotta be confident in yourself. If you didn't pick yourself, I'd be like, what's going on, man? You can't be that nice.
They told me, like, a lot of the players picked Kalento. I was like, how can you do that? You have to take confidence in yourself.
That's right.
Think on yourself. No, I like that. That's a good strategy. Good mentality.
Or you could be hedging. You could be hedging too.
So yeah, true,
you're not upset either way, type of thing. Yeah, right. I picked Muzzy, true. And oh man, you know, just hopefully Muzzy will come back around the next time if I pick him.
Yeah. I mean, he has a pretty good lead on Last Call, so he should still make it to BlizzCon or not World Champs, not BlizzCon anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, World Champs. Yeah, how does what Last Call work now? Like, because RDU is obviously going to be there too, and mm-hmm. it's still a tournament to get into BlizzCon from there, right?
No, it's just if you're leading in points, uh-huh. you go straight to World Champs.
Oh, thank goodness! Thank goodness it's like that. Last year was so brutal, man. I remember RDU going through that, and the entire year being one of the top winners. What was that, Jackie?
It's entertaining.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, Last Call are the best players that aren't in, you know, like for the entire year, these are the players that perform the best. So it's kind of heartbreaking when they don't get in, you know, and they've, some of them, if you ranked the players that, you know, ended up getting in each season with everybody else, they might've been in that top 16. It's just, they just didn't make it in. Right. So it's pretty brutal when they don't. But it's happy to hear that they automatically get in now. So what happens between now and BlizzCon? Like, is there anything going on?
There is summer.
It's just a summer playoffs. Right? Still one more season, right? Yeah. And then we get in. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That should be interesting. And are you going to try like to get points or anything? Or are you just going to kick back and just wait until October?
Well, I mean, I came back and just started playing in Open Cup. Yeah. You know, I still want to play in summer. You know, I want to make it back, you know, give the consistency and Hearthstone storyline, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good, man.
I don't know. I don't know what I would do with not competing. It would just, like, be boring. So, mm-hmm. yeah, why not?
Yeah, got to keep on that edge, man. Cause,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
once you back off of it, sometimes you can't get it again. So,
yeah, I think that's can't lose the passion.
Yeah, totally. All right, well, we got a lot of news that's been floating around, you know, just with the announcement of the expansion. You know, we've had this kind of week of really absorbing it and maybe seeing what some of the other devs are leaking, or not leaking, but maybe answering in terms of questions. And Ben did a Q&A the other day, and I figured we would talk a little bit about it. Let me actually bring it up real quick before I talk about it. A lot of little things. I wouldn't say there's anything super major, but some things that we already know. No card spoilers until the 24th, which is less than a week away. So we're going to start seeing some cards being revealed by different members of the community, websites and streamers and all that good stuff. And then, let's see... anything else in terms of the release? I don't think there's definitely something going on at Comic-Con, right? With the video that they made with the whole Citadel. Did y'all see that video?
I thought it was so well done.
Oh, dude, so that video is so good.
The Lich King looked legit, and the kids were so cute. Like, it was just, they did a great job with that video.
I mean, is it just going to be like an ice cream shop at Comic-Con? Is that like...
Yeah.
So, Lich King giving you ice cream.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it's going to be.
I think they get over the frozen cone.
Yeah, the frozen cone. So I'm wondering if it's going to be that place, or if it's going to be, you know, another venue near Comic-Con. But they are taking over some kind of venue, brick and mortar place, and yeah, I'm assuming the Lich King will be serving up ice cream from there. But a lot of other, you know, personalities and notable folks will be there too. Al, you're going to be there, right?
I am. Yeah. I'm going to be there. Yes.
Yes.
I'm really, really excited. There's also a fireside gathering there as well.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. So that's going to be a lot of fun. If you're in the San Diego area, or if you're going to Comic-Con, definitely drop by there, or probably keep an eye out on Play Hearthstone at Play Hearthstone Twitter, because they'll probably give you some more details there.
I'll update.
Yeah. Yeah. But talking about, I guess, again, Ben's AMA, they said that a Druid and Warlock hero skin is going to be happening soon, which is pretty, pretty sweet, given that we haven't had one since Tyrande. And that's been a while, right?
It's been a while, actually. Yeah, yeah. Right?
Tyrande was the Twitch Prime thing, right? So it's...
And that was, like, TwitchCon last year, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's been a while.
One thing that I think is funny about Tyrande is that Kibler doesn't know what Fandral says normally because he only hears you'll lead our people to ruin when he comes into play.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, he says, behold the rage of the fire. Right. Yeah.
Because he's had Tyrande for so long, right? Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, he plays priest like exclusively, right?
Yeah. All the time. Yeah. More power to him, man. I freaking love that. Love the priest. Let's see what else here. They also talked about. Well, they talked about Tyrande, and it's not even out in all the regions yet. So it's been out in almost 9-10 months here, but it's not everywhere else. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's taken so long. He goes in and talks about cards a little bit, and one thing he mentions is that Ice Block matches some red flags for cards that. maybe shouldn't be in standard forever.
Yeah, Ice Block could be potentially rotating into wild, which would be very, very controversial.
Well, let's talk about it. So this is the second or third time that we've heard something resembling Ice Block potentially being moved on, maybe in the Hall of Fame or whatever. So want to get your thoughts on do you think Ice Block's too good? What do you think Mage will be without Ice Block? Ant, I'll let you start off.
I mean, I really hate Ice Block.
Wow. Okay.
Let me start by saying that. Yes.
Okay. Good riddance.
I mean, it's probably not super broken. It's just it's really frustrating to play against, especially because you get the satisfaction of killing them, but they don't die. Yeah. And then it lets them play in a way where they play an Ice Block. And they could just completely ignore your board, right? They play Ice Block and burn your face. Mm-hmm. And you just pop it and they just kill you the following turn. Or play another one, burn you, and then kill you that the next turn. So it kind of makes them not really interact or anything and kind of just play a different kind of game.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest complaint against it, right? It's just the lack of interactivity with it. Mm-hmm. Allie, I think you're in the opposite boat, right? You love Ice Block?
I'm not on the opposite. I'm kind of split down the middle. I love Mage as a class. It's my second favorite class. And so because it's such a staple of Mage, I'm a little worried that Mage is going to be bad or something. if it loses Ice Block. But on the other side of the coin, I am excited for more experimentation. Mage has kind of fallen into this one category. Or a lot of the time with those type of freeze mage type decks. And so I'm excited to see what else Mage can be. But I'm actually a little sad it could go, but I see the benefit in rotating it. I know this is probably unpopular opinion. They're gonna be like, dance game, Allie, what the heck?
you still got Nova Doom, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. And so I think it'll be refreshing for the game to lose it. But personally, a little part of me is a little sad.
So. Yeah. Jackie, what about you?
Yeah. I think with kind of how they've brought out standard and they've said that they want with standard, they want the meta to keep changing with expansions. Mm-hmm. And while Ice Block is a thing, like Ali was saying, mages can just play in a very similar style of just freeze the board, Ice Block, burn the face, and that's pretty much it. So but the other side of that is that I've always been a real fan of Control Mage, and I love Control Mage. So I think, mm-hmm. If they did rotate Ice Block out, I think they would have to bring in quite a lot of defensive mage cards, mm-hmm. that can allow a control type of mage to still be possible.
Yeah. Ice Wall.
Ice Wall.
No. Yeah, I'm right there with you too. I think that with Ice Block, one way to think about it too is that it could be design restricting too. They can't come out with even some of these more powerful defensive things, because then Mage would have way too many. They'd get two extra turns, right, with two Ice Blocks as well as whatever crazy defense too. So I think, removing Ice Block as much, I actually don't have a problem with it, because I feel like it caused a different type of style of play to be existent in Hearthstone. But at the same time, it's I want the designers to be challenged, and I want them to have to create new cards and create a new meta or design for Mage itself. So I'm all for that. Definitely all for that. Let's see. The other thing, too, he mentions a Stone Tusk Boar. He mentioned something about legendary totems, but, you know, legendary totems, I'm cool or whatever. It's fine. Stone Tusk Boar, he says, is the most guilty card when it comes to limiting future card mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Danae also said that Prep and Innervate and Malagus are mechanic limiters, too. So yeah, that's interesting.
To quickly bring that up, like I was saying earlier, can you imagine Rogue without Preparation or Druid without Innervate? They would be completely different.
Dead. Suck.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Like,
totally.
Which card would just be dead. Like,
yeah.
Literally.
They would need to make like better ramp cards, I guess, I think. Besides just like Wild Growth. I guess we have Blossom now, but like it's not that great.
Yeah.
So they would have to make better ramp cards, I think.
Has there ever been go ahead.
I was gonna say either they make better ramp cards or they make better removal cards. Because, you know, either you lose tempo in the beginning, you can catch up later, or you know, or it's the opposite, which you're talking about.
Yeah. Mm. I think that's where Druid really is, like, the one thing that Druid is missing right now. Because, like, Earthen Scales, you can get your health, but the single target removal now that, I mean, obviously Naturalize is still a card, but the fact that Mulch is gone, it just, like, really struggles with removing threats, you know, in a convenient way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I'm trying to think of, is there ever a deck that doesn't run Innervate, or Druid deck that doesn't run Innervate?
Well, Jackie, your egg didn't run it for a while, right?
Yeah, I didn't play Egg Druid. I didn't like Druid for a while, but I don't know if we can count that.
Like, early aggro Druid only played, like, one Innervate.
Yeah.
That's, like, the only thing I know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, on, like, in my aggro Druid at the moment on ladder, like, I only play one Innervate because you have, like, no card draw. I feel like a lot of the time if you draw both the Innervates, you just lose the game.
Yeah. That's fair.
Obviously, having two in the deck increases the chance of drawing one of them, but whenever you draw two of them, you just lose.
Yeah. It's a really dangerous place, but it's definitely a dangerous place because they've obviously designed Druid around it, but at the same time they can't add anything that replaces it in a way too. So I think at some point they'll have to rip the Band-Aid off and just take it out and then start filling the holes, like early game type of thing. But Stone Tusk Boar, so charge being an issue again. I mean, what's new, right, guys?
Yeah.
So,
same old.
Yeah.
Quest Rogue was the only time... Is Quest Rogue the only time Stone Tusk Boar's ever been played in competitive decks?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think it is, right?
So. Dude, we had Firebat's Boar meta that one time, right? Come on, what are you talking about, guys?
God.
Was it that Hunter
came to mind,
or something?
But I was like, no, I think it was like Rogue or something.
Oh, it's a Rogue.
I remember
he
played it and it concealed it.
Yeah. That was funny. But legitimately, I think you're right. Yeah. I think it was.
But when they say like a card that's never normally played is so restricting, it makes you think what are they actually trying to do?
Yeah.
I feel like it's buff related, right? Something. It has to be something where you can put a lot of stats on a body because they don't want you attacking that turn. That's what I'm imagining. Or it's like poison or something powerful, right, that you can buff.
Yeah.
I wondered if they'd ever go as far to, like, rotate Boar. It just feels weird. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's Boar making the Hall of Fame. That would dreams, baby. That would make
never
big dreams.
Never seen place in Beta. Just moved.
Sorry, like, Boar, you're gone.
Yeah, if it's that limiting, I do think they should consider it, but it would just
feel odd.
But
I would totally pay for that. Boar in the Hall of Fame. Holy smokes, that'd be so awesome.
Too good.
Yeah. But they said future nerfs to charge due to it being the biggest challenge could be in store. So I would expect that. I would expect to see even less charge minions than we already see. Let's see.
Can you imagine if they just remove charge completely, the whole mechanic?
I mean, they can't. They just added one with the lifesteal. I mean, so.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's going to be around for another year or so.
I do enjoy combo decks, though. I mean, so. But it's not interactive. That, you know, like that's what everyone always is complaining about. But like Murloc Paladin back when old Murkai was still a thing, like I loved that deck with anything can happen.
Well, the interactiveness is the interactive thing is, it's one of those complaints I feel when the amount of cards that you need is not very many. Meaning, like,
right.
you can get the combo before having to pick through your entire deck. Like, you know, we used to have the Warrior one, right? The Warrior, you know, Rampage and all that, that combo. Like, nobody complained about that because you had to go through, like, your entire freaking deck to get it. So it's a more of a combination of that. I'm actually totally for combo decks, too. It's just you can't pull it off, like, on turn 15. Like, you have to... It has to be like turn 25 or 24 on average that you have to, you know, you can pull it off. So, you know, that's it's kind of
the quest rogue kind of
same thing, right?
You know, like turn four and now
dumb quest rogue. I'm glad to see the back of that.
You're gonna see that it's gonna be, I have a feeling it's gonna be back. And what do you think of that? Do you think quest rogue is completely dead for good, or do you think people will adjust and still bring it to events somehow?
I don't know. I feel like it still be like control decks. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it feels like just the slow decks aren't fast enough to kill you, so like maybe it could still be playable. Everyone's telling me like, oh, now that they're too slow, like the control decks have time to catch up, but like I don't know if that's always true. Like, all you need to do is play Igneous Elemental and like a couple bounces and there you go, you got it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is an average of like a turn or a turn and a half more than it is right like before the nerf really going to make that big a difference against control? It's
I mean, you can even make the deck slightly greedier, right? Like if you you could bring it in like a last hero standing. Like tournament, because you just counter one specific control deck with it and just it can still just destroy control, I think. So yeah, I think it I think there's a chance we see it seeing play again for sure.
Jackie still wants it to be played. He's a hipster now.
I know, right? I feel like there's a good chance it's gonna be back in the future. Not maybe not the near future, because the knee jerk is always not to play it, but I have this feeling it's going to be back and strong again. Okay, so here's the thing that I think one of the other big things that that's coming out, or that's I'd like to discuss, is really just how they're announcing just cards and stuff. So last time with Un'Goro, they had the big reveal, you know, just the big announcement with the video, and then they almost immediately started to reveal cards, right? Like, you know, the typical one website or one streamer or one personality, whoever, would get like a card and it would be released once a day, and you know how the subreddit reacts to all that and all that good stuff. So they decided to change it this time around. They're waiting, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks, or actually maybe even more than 2 weeks, to start the reveal, so that the reveal, you know, goes into the launch soon after. And want to get your thoughts on it, because, you know, the last week it's been quiet. You know, it's like you kind of lose momentum from the original announcement, but do you think it's going to be worth it in the end?
I think that the expectation was the biggest issue, because I can kind of understand why they want to do it this way, because they want to build hype closer, because it just was too long of a time, I guess, with Un'Goro that people kind of lost interest because it was so immediate. And so I think it's the expectation that it was the biggest issue, is that because they did that for Un'Goro, people were like, what the heck, you know, 2 weeks or, you know, more until we start actually seeing cards. So I actually don't think it's that bad. It's just what the community was expecting was the issue.
Yeah, I'm not like, I played Magic before Hearthstone, and I'm not used to this, because like they'll give you like first spoiler and then you just have like 3 weeks of spoilers, right?
Right.
So like, and then the set would come out. If it was something like that, I would love it, because like you just get to take in new cards every day. Like, oh wow, like look at all these cards, and like, oh, now I can play with these cards.
Yeah,
like I wish it was something like that. Like this
kind of was like that though.
Yeah, sort of. Exactly. And now this kind of like we're gonna show it and then wait 2 weeks and then we have to wait more for the, you know, the set to actually come out. And it sucks a little bit, but you know, new cards are always exciting. So I'm not really gonna complain about it, honestly.
When is Comic-Con again, guys?
This weekend.
Oh, it's this
Thursday,
weekend.
Okay. Friday, okay. Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay. So we still have no idea what the launch is, right? Like, if they start revealing on the 24th, when is the launch date? It's
I don't think
it's not out yet, right? It's
We don't know. I think it's going to be the first week of August, or like first or second, somewhere in there.
I hope it's the second week. I'm on vacation like the first week. Oh, no. It'll totally suck if it comes out.
So selfish, Tim.
My bad.
Screw you all. You can wait a week while I'm on holiday.
Exactly. You guys can reveal as many of the cards you want, guys. You know, but yeah, I think I'm along the same lines too. I think the real alternative is just. Could they just reveal it a week or two before actually launching it instead too? But I think they do like this whole community type of reveal, and I think all the community enjoys it too. I would hate for them to take that away from community members. Something I think 3 weeks would be perfect, like you said, Ant. I think 3 weeks would be like optimal. And then just kind of flow right into it, because we've seen all of it now. Like, we've seen 1 week later after the BlizzCon of Grand Tournament or whatever, immediately start playing, and we've seen too long. So they're still trying to search for the best one, obviously.
It'd be really interesting to see their marketing stats, like, after, you know, doing it this way versus doing it the Ungoro way. I'm sure the marketing team's got so much data.
I mean, one thing they usually do is usually on... one of the last days they do a big card dump, and they show you about 30, 40 of the rest cards all at the same time.
Yeah.
I actually think it's a bad idea that they've waited for a couple of weeks or whatever, because I don't feel there's much like hype about it right now. Whereas when they revealed the first few cards, there's a lot of hype. Everyone's excited for the new expansion, and that's kind of gone away. Whereas even if they just revealed like done it very slowly and done like two or three cards a day, that's just something to keep people hyped, and there's something new to talk about every day.
Well, let's see how people feel on the 24th though, because like we don't have anything to go off right now, you know. So the hype's dying, on the 24th, maybe everyone will be like, oh my god, again.
They can build it up too. I think that this whole concept of just having X amount of time and only releasing one or two cards a day during that time is not something that has to necessarily be there. Like they can build it up themselves, you know, like announce it on one day and then just figure out, like you said, there's 40 cards that they dump on us at the last day. Surely we could do something, you know, in the meantime to kind of build that up and just have the big day be just the actual launch. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, like, oh, take in all 50 of these cards. To be honest, like 40 or 50 cards, we can't even review that many cards like on like our show. That's like way too many to even review. So I wish they would use those cards and how they show them in a more creative way. They could totally do that.
Yeah. I think it would have been really cool if they they put the cards inside the Ice Cream Citadel this weekend.
That would be cool.
Announcing it like,
dude, it'd be totally viral. Then. Holy crap. Yeah, can you imagine that? It could be like the raptor around the cones and shit. Oh, man, dude. That would be totally awesome. Yeah. Oh, that would have been so good.
Like a little and you're hired. Ice cream that's just and like you're a totally hired. A card.
And then like the community could, you know, post tweets.
Yeah,
know?
It would be viral.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, dude, look at what I found, right? Look, like, I found this code. Like, and you type the code in somewhere and it tells... I mean, they could have totally, not ARG'd it, but, you know, they could totally make a super fun campaign out of it. That would have been so cool.
Ideas.
Be sure to watch the show.
Yeah, I hope they're listening.
Okay, well, why don't we move on? Definitely, again, cool that Ben was doing some AMAs and, you know, answering a lot of questions there, as well as Mike to a degree, too. Let's see. The next thing I got here is, DreamHack Valencia happened this past weekend too, this past week. And I didn't get a chance to catch too much of it. You know, I definitely know that, congratulations to Hari Seldon, spoilers for winning. But I didn't catch too much outside of like Tyler's matches here and there. Did you guys watch by chance?
I didn't catch any, unfortunately. It seemed like everyone had a great time hanging out with each other. I was like, see it lurking Twitter, but I didn't get to watch any, unfortunately.
I'm glad to see Tyler, like, do well.
Yeah.
Because he has, like, the Just the Grinder tag on him right now. So to see him have, like, some success, you know, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, I didn't really watch much of it except like a bit right at the end, the final, because I was kind of supporting Ben. He's from Britain and I've met him a couple of times, and he was also playing Control Priest, so
yes,
he finished second. But he was good, man.
Yeah, if you look at the Hearthstone page for Valencia, they have a breakdown just of all all the classes and just, you know, which classes did well. And it definitely looks like event-wise, and Ant, you can, you know, let me know, and, you know, obviously Jackie too. From the standpoint of the pro scene and just events, has the meta just completely stabilized, or do you think there still is room for, you know, these control priests popping in here or these tempo priests popping in here from time to time and still having success that way?
I'd say it's a little bit more viable for, like, the control-ish decks now since, like, the Quest Rogue nerf.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I think people are just, like, sticking to the same thing. You know, we have a new set coming, and they're not, like, they're not really experimenting as much. So I think they're just sticking to what they know. I could see the priest seeing a lot more play. Like, maybe it's actually pretty good with Quest Rogue nerf.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I haven't seen very much experimentation recently, at least.
Yeah. I think people are missing a trick with Elemental Rogue, though. Elemental Rogue is great.
It is. It is. We're going to be talking about Rogue in a second. I actually mixed Elemental Rogue with that. We were supposed to do a Jade Rogue, and I ended up, of course, mixing Elementals into it. So.
I always mix those two, too. Yeah.
It's good. It's definitely fun.
It's crazy to me to see on this, like, the DreamHack, like, archetype breakdown. It's 11 of 16 brought Evolve Shaman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. It's like a deck that started out as like a meme.
Right.
We were talking about this deck on Value Town. I don't know how many times. Noxious. It was in December. I told Noxious, like, dude, I'm like, Noxious, I think this Evolve Shaman, like, will be legit. Like, it will be legit. And we were like, yeah, I think so. I think so. And no, you know, everybody thought we were just like freaking joking and stuff. And it's like, look now. It's like one of the best decks. It's like crazy. Isn't it? It's so good. It's so good. I think that Evolve Shaman, I've been seeing it a little bit less recently, though. Have you guys been seeing it drop a little bit in the meta, like, recently? Or do you still see a ton of Shaman every day?
I still see a fair bit, yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's all over ladder, yeah.
Yeah, okay, never mind then. Maybe I'm just lucky. I totally tech my decks to beat Shaman, and I don't even play any Shaman. It's, like, crazy.
It's the law of Hearthstone.
I know, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, why don't we move on to talk about our week in Hearthstone, and figured we would talk about the Ramp Druid, given that there's been a lot of Ramp Druid being played, and I've actually been playing a lot, and I think all three of us have. So, you know, one of the Ramp Druids that's, I think, been getting a lot of following has been the Big Druid. It's a real, real creative
easy.
Name. The big druid.
Easy,
easy big druid.
I love that. The guy. It's so great.
It's crazy to me that like everyone would spam like Ramp Druid Resident Sleeper, like something that nobody wanted to watch. But you call it Big Druid. Now everybody wants to see every streamer play Big Druid all the time.
It's like Druid B-I-G, dude.
It's group mentality.
Biggie Druid. Yeah, exactly. So I figured we'd just show all three of them. So the left one is Allie, the one Allie's been playing. Very close to the one Dog's been playing, I think. And then
It's Dog's list.
Yeah, and the one in the middle is Jackie, and the one I'm playing is on the right. And mine's Biggish Druid. It's not quite full-out big Druid, because I have a little bit of elements experimenting in it. So why don't we start with the Dog one, given that this one seems to be the one that's been having a lot of success lately. And Allie, you told me that Dog was on record saying that he thinks it's the best deck in Hearthstone.
I need to get the audio clip to prove that, but he either said one of the best or the best, and I do. I agree with him. I think it's really strong.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy.
I crafted Tyrantus.
Dog memeing us, dude. He's totally memeing us. He was picking Tyrantus on Streamer Showdown, like, for every single Twitch chat, Jackie, remember? Or was it Ultra Sword? I can't remember. But anyways.
I get so excited to get Tyrantus off Elise, and then I was like, oh, Dog's running Tyrantus. And, like, this is an excuse to craft him. And so I did. I crafted Tyrantus, and I think the deck is really, really good. I mean, it can spiral out of control so easily if you just, draw your ramp. But I think it's very strong. Bright-Eyed Scout triggers me a little bit.
I was going to just say totally going to
ask you. Can't tell you how many times I have a 5-mana Wrath or a 5-mana Wild Growth in my hand, but other than that, That's my only run one.
Every time I watch an Ally stream, when she plays Bright Eyed Scout, I know it's 50% it's going to be silent for the next 10 seconds. or it's going to be, yes, oh my God, that was awesome.
There's no in between. Yeah. The salt just, oh unless God. I get nourished and I'm just kind of like, oh, well.
Right. Yeah. No, I actually dropped that card from my deck because it was triggering me too. I was just like, this ain't worth it, man.
You have the 5-mana innervates.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Those are great.
So insane though. Like it can just win you the game.
Oh yeah.
It can. Oh, sometimes, yeah. That's for sure. But see, what's some of the other cards in here? Let's see. What do you guys think of Anaconda? Because you know, a lot of times when we're talking about Ram Druid, Anaconda's like an auto. Yeah, of course we're gonna put it in, right? Because we want to get out those big 10 drops. But how good do you think it is right now?
I think it's great.
Yeah, especially in a deck like this, I would think it's really good.
Enough to run two. Like I personally just enjoy one.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I have a lot of. I feel like a lot of the time I have like a Primordial, a Ysera. You know, a Cairn in my hand, and it's just not doing much for me. I still think it's great, and I still think you need to have it in there. But for me, I just like a one of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like Jackie, you have two of them in there, right?
Yeah, I mean, my version's a bit more.
It's higher statted.
Yeah, so I've got like Bog Creeper and stuff, like more like good pulls instead of like Ancient Immortal, like Bog Creeper, like Sogoth is insane.
Yeah, this looks like Frozen's list like a while back, right?
It's kind of similar.
Yeah, with their Bog Creepers and stuff, it was good.
But I'm not running Swipe because Swipe is a terrible card right now.
I would not be running Swipe I have Wild Pyro. That's the only reason I'm running it. If I didn't have Wild Pyro in the deck, I wouldn't be running it either. So
I was playing with Starfall.
I tried Starfall too. Yeah. It just wasn't quite good enough because the nice thing about Swipe is that you get that one big damage on that, you know, thing from below or whatever it is, right? That
Auctioneer
or a 3/6 Behemoth, whatever it is, right? It's nice to just get that extra damage on it.
Yeah.
What do you think about Cairn? Because I feel like it doesn't really.
I dropped
it. Like, I feel like the only reason you're playing Cairn in the deck is for Barnes.
And I don't
feel like it's worth playing it in the deck just for Barnes, but a lot of people seem to be running it.
Yeah, I'm underwhelmed by it, honestly. Okay. Like, looking at your list here, and that's also, you know, the Anaconda problem for me. You know, the Ysera and the Curator and Cairn, like a lot of lower statted attack minions. But I think the Cairn's been generally underwhelming. At least for me.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ant?
Yeah, I like seeing like Bog Creepers a lot more than Cairn, I think. I mean, it makes the Anacondas better, but it's just like a big thing. You know, it stops the aggro decks as well. It's usually like a good pull off of Yasaraj or Anaconda. You know, I think it's just a really good minion. That's one of the big things I say, like in the between these two decks. Mm-hmm. But I haven't really tested Sogoth, but it actually kind of makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why the deck actually does pretty well against aggro, right? Just because of the Bog Creepers and Sogoth. It's surprisingly how good it is, given that most of the time with ramp that people think that playing super fast decks beats it. but it actually stuffs it pretty well. It has a lot of healing too, right? But to your point with Cairn, Allie, is that I thought it was bad too. And I didn't want to add Bog Creeper because I've definitely played it, you know, that route before. So just searching for cards that are good with Barnes and good, you know, just with whatever, with Yasharaj and whatever. That's why I ended up experimenting with the Hoggers, because I was telling Allie and Jackie, I just have this soft spot for Hogger. And so I always revisit it. And this just happens that this week was the week that I revisited it. And surprisingly, it's actually performed okay. I mean, it's not like the greatest thing in the world, but like against Shaman, I'm actually able to keep up with minions on the board because of cards like Hogger and Barnes and Yasharaj and things like that. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, again, like I wouldn't say it's better than like Bog Creeper, but it's got its own elements that surprisingly Hogger just doesn't die instantly like it used to. Like every time I used to play it, just die like immediately. Now, like, you can actually play it behind something, or if you get Yasharaj and now he gets Hogger, that's great.
Right. That's
crazy good. That's good. Yeah.
I'm surprised we've made it this far.
Yeah.
And we haven't talked about this Vicious Fledgling in your deck.
Yes. Yes.
Good so, point.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my deck's obviously a little bit Frankensteinish, but the thing is, yeah. The thing about Vicious Fledgling is that, you know, I'm still trying to find some more things to put in the ramp deck without going, because I feel like if you go too far into the ramp, the big druid part, it doesn't necessarily have like even more explosiveness to it. So I just wanted to make sure I had those explosive cards, like the Death Lords and things like that. And mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, that's the end game. If I get the Death Lord or the Dragon, the Deathwing Dragon Lord, you know, I get all the dragons on the board, I beat, you know, whatever deck, right? But there's not many other cards like that at the end of the game in the hearts, you know, just at least available to us. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to add Fledgling because it's an auto win, like one out of four, you know, games for me if I can innervate it out on turn one. So it's just kind of like, that's nice.
It's like, do I know a thing or two about innervating Fledgling?
Yeah, exactly, right? That's brutal. It's so brutal, dude. That was so brutal. What were you saying?
Yeah. I was going to say, have you ever gotten Fledgling from a Barnes and it survived and you've like grown it to... Ooh.
I had one adapt with it, but I ended up putting like health on it or so, or I mean, I didn't actually get to hit again with it or anything, but it happened one time because I had, I think I had a Primordial Drake in front of it. So it was able to live like one turn, but, and he didn't prioritize it either. So it's just kind of like a 1-1. It's not as big a deal.
How have you found Hogger Doom of Elwynn? Because I love that card, but I haven't played it in so long.
It's not as good as the original Hogger in this deck, surprisingly, just because you get something immediately from it. But it has a ton of synergy against Primordial Drakes and even just like the Wild Pyro. Sometimes you just kind of, again, flood your board a little bit, just kind of build wide a bit. And so it's nice in that way. You know, it's designed not to be immediate impact, which is generally a bad thing in Hearthstone. But with the current meta, it's actually not terrible. And sometimes it can draw, like, Shadow Ward Deaths and things like that. And it's like, great. It's like, if you want to use Shadow Ward Death on this, then I'm happy to donate a 6/6 to you, man. It's totally cool. Yeah. I think that's cool. The Faceless, I think, is great, too. I think Faceless is something that people aren't looking at enough in these type of decks too, especially with the ones with Anaconda, because you can just, you know, if they don't kill your Anaconda because they're avoiding it, you kill it and then you just faceless it immediately after that, whatever you get out of it. So
it's, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
just thinking we should put Faceless Manipulator in Underrated or Debated.
Yeah. we could have done that. We didn't have it this week though.
Yeah, not this week.
Yeah, yeah. So but anyways, definitely give a Ram Druid a tryout, guys, and it's definitely a lot of fun. I've been playing against a lot of Ram Druids too, and it's just, it's kind of silly, just the way it plays out. But have you guys had any inclination to play Naturalize? Like, have you guys had any wants or desires to play one?
Yeah, I tried it out a bit because Naturalize is, because you're obviously falling behind with this deck. Like, you really need some, like, tempo plays. Naturalize is, like, insane of tempo. So I was trying a list with, like, Oracles. Because you have the Anaconda, which is a beast. So you can be, like, Curator, Oracle.
Oh, that's nice.
But it wasn't very good. So
I mean, you can draw. Yeah. There's not much space, right? Like, there's not much places that you can even add stuff. Because it needs everything. But it's a lot of fun. And Yasharge, guys. Yasharge is one of my favorite cards in Hearthstone now, I think. It's because I love greedy cards, and you know, one of the things I've always complained about with Hearthstone is that I just don't think there's like enough 10 drop greedy cards that, you know, if I just want to play a stupid, greedy, crazy deck, like, you know, I can't put, like, these are the cards right here, right? And that's all we got, you know?
Yeah.
Like, There's not.
Well, the game.
These are the big cards.
Yeah.
But the game favors aggro so much of the time.
But they could make one. They could just make a stupid, you know, like almost like Archmage or whatever, right?
Rafam?
Rafam, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just like make some. I mean, even Rafam was like a little bit, you know, not even crazy greedy, given that the value of it wasn't even just matched up, I think, right? But yeah, it'd be nice to have a few more of them. And Yasharge, I feel like, is one of the best ones And yeah, it's really, really fun to play it. Okay, let's see. I think that was, or any other decks you guys were playing this week? I mean, we might not have it right here to show, but anything interesting that you guys noticed?
I've been playing around with Dragon Priest a little bit.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah. I still don't know how I feel about it. Like, I enjoy the deck, and I like versions with, like, Divine Spirit and Inner Fire, mm-hmm. but I also sometimes feel like I just draw my Divine Spirits and Inner Fires, and I just have nothing to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been playing around with that a little bit.
Cool.
I think I was playing, like, some Nazoth Shaman, but that didn't turn out very good.
with Ancestral Spirit and White Eyes and all that good stuff. Yeah, that's always fun, man. Totally fun. Okay, well...
I was playing some... I was playing some Kazakus Priest, and I really do feel like there's potential there, but
it's,
I haven't quite got a list yet I'm happy with.
Yeah. One of our patrons was telling me that, too. That they've been playing it a lot, and they think it's, like, pretty good right now in the meta. So I was going to get around it. Allie sounds like she's been playing it.
Yeah. Well, the fact that it has like greater healing potion, like for me with Kazakus Mage was the biggest thing was health, you know, and like if you didn't get armor from your Kazakus or something, but Priest of the Feast and greater healing potion. I feel like Priest just has more tools to kind of make up for the fact that you're running one of and you know, I mean, without Reno, obviously. So yeah, I know. Yeah. I think Kazakus Priest is great. I've just been running Kibler's List because I think he hit Legend with it last season, maybe, or something.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he finished like top 200.
Yeah, he did pretty damn well with it. So.
He's played it so much, though. I mean, he knows how the matchups go really, really well at this point. Yeah.
I don't know it that well.
Now, one bad thing about Kazakus Priest, though, like compared to like the other Kazakus classes, is that Priest really doesn't have good, well, much AoE. Mm-hmm. Like, you have Dragon Fire Potion, which is insane, but then that's it. Other than that, you've got, like, Holy Nova, which isn't really that good.
Holy Nova is so overwhelming.
Obviously, you can play, like, Primordial Drake, but it's not as good compared to, like, Mage, where you have, like, Blizzard, Flamestrike, Volcanic Potion, Meteor, etc., etc.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you kind of have to, like, hope that Shadow Visions hits Dragon Fire Potion, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, sometimes you just get rolled by like Aggro Druid because you just like Holy Nova doesn't do enough. But
You have Kazakus too.
Don't get
too.
Your Dragonfire.
Kazakus Potion is one too.
You get your AoE.
Yeah. That's true. when I was playing a Kazakus Mage, you know, because of Deck of the Week, I would never get that AoE. It was so crazy. Oh man, it's brutal.
Unlucky.
But why don't we give a quick shout out to some of the folks that have been that listen to the show. For those of you that don't know, Value Town is available on iTunes Audio as well as Google Play and SoundCloud. And we usually like to take a little bit of time to give a shout out to some of the folks that have left us, you know, some nice reviews. It helps out a lot with SEO in terms of people trying to find Value Town when they're searching for Hearthstone podcasts. So a big shout out to Thirsty Hippo, October 12345, The Real Flamingo, and Jao Brewer 28. Thanks for doing that. And again, you can help us out by just spending like a minute and going into iTunes and doing that if you guys do listen to the show on your iPhone on the way to work or whatever it is. Of course, the show is 100% sponsored or supported by our Patreon that we have, patreon.com/valuetown. So we always take a little bit of time just to give a shout out to just some of our patrons each and every week. If we haven't read out your name, guys, don't worry. We will get to you. I'm just like going down the list each week. You know, I don't want to read out like 100 people. So I just try to get to a little bit each week. So, you know, if you're wondering why your name hasn't been called, that's probably the reason, but big shout out to
we love you all.
Yeah, we love you all. We definitely love you all. big shout out to Mike T, our legendary producer as always. And then, Raydan, Bryce L, Ed H, Vincent G, Zihong C, Stuart P, Esser G, Eric L, Matthew H, WS, and Drunken Monk. Thanks so much for supporting. And again, guys, check out the Patreon because, you know, without you guys, without support for the show, we're not able to do the show. So a dollar, whatever you want to, you know, throw in there, it helps in a big way. If everybody listened to the show, just, you know, gave us a quarter or, you know, a dollar or whatever, we'd be in great shape, obviously. So
we can't do it without you.
Yeah, exactly. If you have it, obviously, if you have it. And also you get to participate in the deck of the week that we do each Monday, the shows. You're actually guests on the show. Everybody can listen to it and have access to it, but you guys get to be our guests. Like, we had two or three of them this week with me, Allie, and Jackie. So it was a lot of fun. Okay, well, let's move on to our new segment, Deck Evolution. Allie and Jackie, so it was a lot of fun. Okay, well, let's move on to our new segment, Deck Evolution. I was trying to think, should we call it Deck Evolution? Should we call it Frankendeck? I was trying to...
Frankendeck.
Frankendeck.
Yeah, I like the Frankendeck.
You like Frankendeck? Okay, we might have to rename it to Frankendeck. I might have to get a bumper that says Frankendeck.
Okay. I will put my one in Evolution.
Okay, you got okay. So he actually thinks evolution's good. Okay. So let me bring up these decks. So what this is, guys, what this segment is me, Allie, and Jackie come up with our deck, kind of similar to the Ramp Druid, but the Ramp Druid in that particular case, we were actually playing it and just kind of wanted to discuss it more. In this particular case, we're going to try to put together a deck. And it's kind of just a combination of all of ours, and then we'll figure out what that deck is, and and I'll post
this
it.
Goes well.
Yes, and then this is going to be deck of the week. This is going to be deck of the week. So unfortunately, I had something set up that was a little bit better, but given that we had some production issues, I'm just going to have to notate it and build the deck and post it a little bit later. But yeah, the whole goal is to combine and just like combine all of our decks in some way and just find the best versions of it and then create a deck and post it for deck of the week. So Ant, you're gonna be like our referee. So or you're the one
okay.
that
I can do
the official okay, that's gonna be our verse card kind of thing. All right. So we've got Allie's on the left, which is two backstabs, two coins. Two preps, two shadow steps, patches, two swashbucklers, a Thalanos Eviscerate, two Jade Shurikens, two Jade Swarmers, Edwin Van Cleef, two Fan of Knives, two Mimic Pods, Jade Spirit, two Vile Spine Slayers, a Black Paw, and two Gadgets and Auctioneers. So man, that's way different than me and Jackie's actually.
Yeah, this is like cool. Miracle. This is like the miracle version.
Yours
basically.
Is the miracle version, and then Jackie's and I are more Nazoth versions. So Jackie's has the backstabs again. He has two Fireflies, two Mistress of Mistress of Madness, right?
Oh, that's not my deck.
Oh, is that mine? Is that mine? That might be mine. Yeah, that's mine. Yeah. Sorry, Mistress of Madness. Sorry, it's like really small. It's small on my list. like I didn't know it. Yeah, it's really small here. Okay, so, and then Patches, Swashburglars, Eviscerate, Shurikens, Swarmers, only one Mimic Pod, a Shaku, an SI Agent, Jade Spirits, and then I have more Elementals in here. Servant of Kalamos, Shadowcasters, Vile Spines, Aya, one Blazecaller, and then the Zoth. And then Jackie doesn't have any of the Elementals, so he has... let's see, he has Thalanos, he has Undercity Hucksters, Van Cleef, Fan of Knives, two Mimic Pods, and that's about it. That's different than mine. So, yeah, me and Jackie's are kind of similar, and, you know, obviously, and Allie's a little bit different. All right, so guys, what do you think? What do you think of, I guess, the deck that you guys brought and specifically and what you liked about it? And then we'll try to figure out a way to get them all together.
Well, I think the first thing we should probably decide is if we want to go the Nazoth route or not.
That's probably true.
I personally didn't really like my version all that much. Like, I didn't feel like it was that strong. So, and I'm lacking the Nazoth. So, I'm curious to see what you guys think.
Yeah, I mean... I actually didn't really like mine either.
Well, I must be the only one that liked mine, so...
But that's... I mean, I did quite like it, but I just felt like it was inferior to Elemental
Rogue. Yes.
I agree with that. So I added Elemental, right? So it was a little bit similar too, but I really didn't like Jade Swarmer. Like, I... I hated that card, actually.
It is so slow.
I wanted to drop that card so much, but we were doing Chain Rogue. So it's just
it feels like even when you play it on turn two, it even feels bad then.
Yeah.
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 And there's no growth potential.
But can you
to
play it.
It
without, can you play this deck without it though?
I think you can. It's just, it's not as much of a Jade, you know, Jade yeah. type of deck as a tempo deck, right? It's
yeah, it's a lot less Jade at that point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like you have to.
But I mean, for the betterment of the deck, I think we should drop it.
Probably. I could
but
see it.
You, the thing is with Rogue, like, you already have less Jade cards than Shaman and Druid. Like, Rogue only has two class Jade cards and the other two have three, so.
We have Shadowcaster, though, right? So.
Yeah. Hey, what do you guys think to Shadow Step?
Man, I'm torn on that one. I feel like it's either or, like Shadowcaster or Shadow Step. But actually, you have both, right? No, you only have Shadow Step, Allie. I thought you had both.
Yeah, I only have Shadow Step. I really don't like Shadow Step. Yeah, I think I like Shadowcaster more than Shadow Step.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Ant?
I don't know. I don't like Shadow Step very much. I'm not a huge fan of Shadowcaster either, but I think I would like it more than Shadow Step. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's so Shadow Step's out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shadow Step. Got the Knicks.
Okay, Shadow Step's out. And so are we going the Zoth route? Is that the consensus or no? We don't have to.
I'm not sure if it's better. It's just like Zoth is one of my favorite cards.
I mean, I think there's three ways, right? You can either go the Auctioneer way, the Zoth way, or the Elemental Jade way. And I think if you're going the Elemental Jade way, I don't think you need Nazoth because you have...
Yeah, I agree. Minion
kind of thing.
Maybe that's so just the like best one way of, to do it then.
Yeah. Just to drop the Nazoth and go Elemental Jade. Yeah. It's really like, nice that Jade Spirit is an Elemental. That's like... Yeah. That's a nice energy, actually.
Yeah. It's like playing Nazoth, you have to play Swarmer, right? And like Swarmer just feels bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another thing about if you went the Auctioneer route, you can actually play Journey Below because it solves your one mana spell. It's good with Auctioneer, and you can get the Aya, or you can get another Jade Swarmer. So like Journey Below is like not bad if you're playing the Auctioneer one.
Oh, okay.
Actually, that's true. Yeah,
that's,
you're right.
That's a good point, actually. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Actually, that's why you had. Okay, I see.
Maybe if we like.
Oh, I was going to say. So if we're making deck of the week here, is this if we go the elemental route, is that going to be really similar, too similar to a previous deck of the week, the Jackies?
I think it would be. Yeah.
It would be pretty similar.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's
maybe
probably
we
true.
Do. We have to go into
I mean, I think maybe if you cut like Shadow Steps from the Auctioneer version for Journey Below. Maybe that can work out better.
Okay, that's a different way of going about it.
Yeah, we can go. We should just do an Auctioneer one.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Wow, we just did a 180 there, man. Good. All right. Let's do an Auctioneer one then. And then so we're talking replacing Shadow Step with Journey Below, and then what else, guys? So if we replace that, then...
What do you guys think to Shadowcaster, even in an Auctioneer list? Because I think Shadowcaster is actually fantastic in...
Okay.
In Jade Rogue, but maybe with Auctioneer you can't fit it. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a little hard to fit it.
Yeah, I think so.
There's like so many things that I think would be good with it as well.
I mean, almost everything is Battlecry-ish, you know? And...
Yeah.
I mean, having a one mana anything is... pretty amazing. I don't know what you would replace though.
Yeah, Mimic I'm looking Pod? At the list. And like,
I mean, it would probably be like Mimic Pod or something. Like maybe replace one Mimic Pod with a Shadowcaster.
Yeah.
What if you took out one Fan, one Mimic? But Mimic Pod's good.
I think I would want to cut like Thanos before Fan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. So a Thanos and a. In a Mimic Pod for two casters?
I mean, to be fair, Thanos Fan's probably just better than Shadowcaster, right? With an Auctioneer list.
Ugh. Yeah. That's a good point. So what are we trying... So in this list, we're just trying to get big Jades, right? Like, that's...
Mm-hmm. Maybe we just swap the two Shadow Steps for the Journey Below. I mean, because I'm looking at the rest. It's not much of a change, but... I don't know. I'm looking at the list, and if it were going the miracle route, like you kind of you can't
yeah.
cut that I, much, you know.
I think that would I think that would work. Just two Journey Belows. See if there's any other elements.
Wait, is there another thing? Do you need two counterfeit coins?
That's like one of the things I was thinking. I think it's insane with Auctioneer and like Van Cleef.
Mm-hmm.
The Van Cleef wins are always nice. Just the auto wins. And then, I mean, the coin can be nice with Vile Spine too. You might be able to get away with one. I don't know if you have to play two. If we think that there's something that's more utility, like a Shadowcaster in place of a coin, I could see that.
Yeah, for sure.
Because in the end, we're cycling, but we're not creating an immediate win condition. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, is that anything?
We kind of need the coins. Gadgets on.
If we can try like one card, and we go like one Journey Below, and then like Shadowcasters. If we cut like another card, if we just cut like one card.
Okay.
I like that. You just want one Journey Below.
For what?
If we're trying to fit Shadowcasters, right? Like, it's kind of hard to fit in, right?
I mean, is there anything we kind of want to put in the deck other than Shadowcaster? Or is that the only card we want to try and fit in, do you think?
I mean, the only other candidates would be...
Like SI?
SI, yeah. That's about the only thing I can think
of. Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have like a pretty big gap, like on that three drop area. Our twos are pretty weak too. You know, we're going to lose tempo hard. You know, so I feel like SI might even be something we have to have. So
you need SI, okay?
Just not to die, you know, like before we get started.
See, like creating one counterfeit coin for an SI.
Okay.
Maybe a mimic pod as well.
This is harder than expected.
Yeah. I mean, Jade Shuriken's kind of like SI, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's going to have to do, I think. You know what I mean? Like, there's not enough room.
Everything's just like a little weaker than it should be, right? So,
yeah.
Okay, so I don't know. What do we conclude it? Just drop the Shadow Steps. Add one Journey Below. Or two Journey Belows? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, two Journey Below.
Okay. And let's just do that.
I quite like cutting one counterfeit coin. What do you guys think? Just because it's other than Auctioneer, it's just not really that useful.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay, so
for a Shadowcaster?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see how it goes.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, let's do that. Okay, so we changed three cards from Allie's deck. So just to sum it up again, we're replacing two Shadow Sets with two Journey Belows, and then we're replacing one counterfeit coin with one Shadowcaster. And for those of you listening and thinking, why can't I see the decks? I hate you guys. Like, I'll post all of these things on the Patreon site, and the notes are always available to you guys. So if you ever need to... you want to look at these decks or you want to use the codes for these decks, just go and check out the notes for my on my website, chamiv.tv. It has a show posting for the show with a link to the notes. So if you ever need to check that out, try that. But okay, well, that's going to be deck of the week too, guys. So, I'll be posting it as a deck of the week, and then we'll talk about it on Monday. That was fun. That was easy.
Yeah.
Totally easy. Next time we just have Allie bring her deck and we just like alter cards. Yeah.
I got this.
Good stuff. Okay, so next up we've got Mechatork's Workshop. Yeah. We've had we don't have the bumpers today, so I gotta make up the bumpers myself. We've got five cards to discuss. We've got three from just fans and patrons, and then two from Allie and Jackie. So let's start off with Josiah L. He has a card called Demented Acolyte, which is a 6-mana 0/10 rare card. It's non-class. Battlecry, discover a class card, gain attack, and lose health equal to its cost. So you clearly don't want to pick a 10 mana. So what do you guys think of this? This is kind of interesting.
This is really interesting.
Yeah. I mean,
it's different. Wow.
It's good.
I mean, it could be really powerful. I mean, discovering a class card is...
It's something in draw a card, right? It's somebody that's probably... It's not worth, obviously, six, but it's somebody in draw a card.
Yeah, I mean, there might actually be some situations where you do want to pick a 10-mana card. If you're in, like, a super high-value matchup, you just want that mind control.
Mm-hmm.
You take a 16 mana for a mind control.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true. Or a Deathwing or something like that. Totally. And what's cool
at that point, it might not be that bad then. Like, if you just you give up the card to take the mind control, if the mind control is going to win you the game,
it's cool because it gives your opponent information too. It's like, you know, Ivory Knight. I think it's cool.
That's probably the closest to it, right? Is Ivory Knight something along those lines?
Yeah, because you get a body too. It's probably like a 4/4 body potentially, right? Like, six mana. No, it would be a 6/4, right? That's how it works. So you always have 10 stats between the two. So it's 5/5, 4/6, 6/4, 7/3. Okay. Yeah, I think this card's good. It just depends on what you get, obviously. You know, if you get a one drop, a one night, didn't sound that great to me. Unless I'm a priest. Uh-huh. That'd be a pretty sweet priest card.
I just want to see it as a 9/1.
Yeah.
The biggest ranger.
The biggest ranger. Demented ranger. Yeah, exactly. That's funny. The big B-I-G, Rager. Rager B-I-G. All right. Next up, we've got Andrew G. with a legendary card. It is Morazond. And it's a dragon.
Ooh, it's a dragon.
Yeah, it's a dragon. It's a cool-looking dragon, too. It's a 9-drop, 4/12, so Ysera style. At the end of your turn, shuffle your hand into your deck, then add 4 cards from your deck back to your hand, basically. So you basically get to discard back into your deck. And then, but you have a chance of drawing it back, right? You have a chance of drawing those cards back. Yeah. So, what do you guys think? Yeah.
It's a weird one, because it's like, if you're playing a dragon deck, like, say, Dragon Priest, like, you'd always play Ysera over this, right? But are there any situations where you, I don't know, where you actually want to get rid of your hand?
It'd be like, switch things around. Like a ramp druid deck, I think, right?
Where you just,
like,
sure.
Use all your ramp to get it out, and then it probably ends up like drawing you a couple cards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can see it, like, in that situation being good.
It's interesting.
Yeah. So you have to discard your entire hand. You can't really choose cards. So.
And then you only get 4.
Yeah.
Back.
And you only get 4 back. That's a good point too.
Yeah, so yeah, I guess so it's just really good if you've just got like nothing in your hand. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I like the concept of discarding and then redrawing. That's actually
That's cool.
That's really cool. I'm not sure this is like right. I would like it to be cheaper. I would have liked the body to be cheaper, so that we could actually possibly play a card with this play. Like play this and then get something, and then you can react with some kind of card too. But at 9 mana, there's like almost nothing you can play at 9 mana. With just 1 mana left, it's very difficult.
But it's pretty cool that it's a neutral, so you can you can draw 4 cards in any class, so classes that struggle with card draw.
Yeah.
I mean, generally, Priest isn't that good with a card draw. Hunter's terrible with card draw, not that you're going to play Dragon on that.
It's possible.
Been there, done that.
No, why doesn't anybody talk? Have you done Elemental Fury Hunter yet?
I've done everything.
Yeah, you've done everything. You sound like a junkie, man. I've done everything, man.
Everything.
You name it, I've done it.
You got me eggs.
Yeah. I've had my eggs.
Jackie Chan, the Hearthstone junkie.
Exactly. Exactly. Sounds like a good slogan, man. Okay.
No, but in theory, I think it's cool. So
I do too. I think so too. I think the body just a little bit different. I think it could be really, really, really fun or has potential. Okay, next up we've got. Go ahead.
I was gonna say what would be really good is if you draw it after you've played Deathwing. So you Deathwing and then you top deck this.
Oh, yes. So oh, that's true. Yeah, that's heavy value card. That's like, what's the card that draws you? Genzo or
Curator?
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't Genzo the one that draws you, right?
Like, yeah, yeah. Genzo the shark. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the new Jeeves.
Oh, it's like a massive Jeeves. I only just realized it.
It's a dragon Jeeves.
You're right.
It's a dragon Jeeves.
Dragon Jeeves. Love it.
Okay. Well, next up, we've got Hellfried with this is a great one. Let me read it up. It's called Cowardly Assassin. It's a rogue card, of course. And it's a one drop. It's a 1/1 body. It's a rare card. Whenever the star is the target of a spell or hero power or is attacked, return this to your hand.
So, the picture is so good, man. The picture.
I know, the picture's perfect. So it can't die? Is this...
It doesn't die. I think if it's targeted. Just, yeah.
Unless it's silence.
Yeah, so... Right. I wonder
or you throw it away.
You just ignore it.
What's the actual interaction with, let's say, a minion attacks you? Does he just completely whiff on him? He goes and jumps at him, and then he moves out of the way and jumps back in your hand. Is that how it works?
I guess so.
You would have to be scared of this thing to like make it to attack it, then, right?
Right.
So it'd like have a buff on it, but then like if it has the buff, it just goes back to your hand and loses the buff.
That's just like double cold blood it and then just lose the cold blood.
Okay, so I mean it's in Rogue. It might have been interesting if it was more in like Warlock or so, I mean, maybe not. Maybe with Warlock it's tough because it's discard, right? So I don't know. I mean, this is definitely good for combo. So I think that's why they chose Rogue. It's a combo initiator.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. I was thinking about like it with the Warlock card that eats another one, the pterodactyl thing, but it doesn't go back to your hand. It's target with like spell or hero power.
Right. Questing Adventurer, dude. This card would be sick with Questing Adventurer. Right? Because you could target it. You can target it too with like backstab and stuff like that too, right?
Oh, so you just keep...
You just keep chaining it.
Keep bouncing it. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, and yeah, that could be interesting too.
I mean, it's definitely interesting, but when you compare it to like Swashburglar, it's just so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very gimmicky for sure, but
yeah.
I still like it. I still like the thought of it though. Like having it, it come back. I mean, I don't know if people would target it or not. I mean, it's only a 1/1 body, right? So it's like not targeted at all. But
death by 1/1.
Yeah,
death by 1/1.
That's like quest row when you don't complete the quest, but you kill them anyway. Death by 1/1.
True.
I like it. It's good.
Except
it's
for
good.
The 1/1s turn into bludgeon hammers. okay. Next up, we've got one from Allie. Allie has the Unearthed Philosopher, which is golden. And what class is this? Is this paladin?
Neutral.
Oh, it's neutral.
Sorry, okay. I make all of my Mechant's Works golden because.
No, that's okay. Yeah. It's just like
golden cards.
It's neutral. It's a legendary 3-mana 2/2 death rattle. At the start of your next turn, discover 3 1-mana spells and combine them into a 3-mana spell. Wow. Build a spell. This is great.
Build a spell.
This is
like
totally...
a mini Kazakus.
Yeah, mini Kazakus. Huh. All right, so we're going to have to. You know what that means, guys? That means we have to come up with our three perfect spells to like morph together into an uber spell.
Yeah, I mean, one I was thinking of was you just get Jade Idol 3 times and then you get 3 mana, summon 3 Jade.
Oh my god, that's so good.
Wow.
Maybe we would make it to where you couldn't get repeats, possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think that's fair.
Possibly. Wow, possibly. I don't know if that's fair or not.
The repeats would be the funniest.
Like 3 soul fires?
Yeah, right? Like that
3 soul fire, 12, and discarding 3. That would be, that'd be pretty.
But like Hunter's Mark into soul fire, and I don't know. What's another one?
It would be like Discover is only your own class, right? So that wouldn't be possible.
Oh, you're right. Well, you're definitely right. I was actually, well, it's.
We get soul fire. Mind blast is.
Two,
actually, yeah. We could do cold blood.
See, I was actually thinking that it wasn't going to be class specific. It'd be OP, but You're right. Any discover mechanic is always class specific.
The spell you would get would almost definitely just be really strong, right? Like, even if you just get like something mage, you get like 3 arcane missiles. That's like 9 damage for 3 mana, whereas Avenging Wrath is like 8 damage split up for 6 mana. Right. So like comparing that, that's like insane.
Is it too good? Or like, does it need to be like a 3 mana 1/1 or like 2/1?
I don't think the body is the issue. Yeah, I think it's more just combining. I think not having repeats would make it a lot less strong. So
definitely not having repeats would be good.
Yeah,
I don't think it is too strong, because you could like compare it to Kazakus. Kazakus is like probably similar statted, but you're always getting something like insane.
Yeah, but with this, well, you can control it. It's a death rattle, so it's not a battle cry, which is nice.
So, and what I thought would be cool is, you know, so if your opponent kills it on their turn, don't know really why you would, but you would draw the card for your turn, and then immediately after you draw the card, you know, it would pop up. You'd get to pick your spell.
Right. Mm. Okay, that'd be interesting. You can play it in a Zoth type of deck and get 2 of these bad boys.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Playing wild with Thunder.
Hey, you can play it in Paladin. It's like a secret. It's like a mysterious challenger at 3. It's great, man.
You get 3 secrets? Oh, my God.
The possibilities are endless.
I know, the possibilities are endless. All right, it's a really cool card, though. I definitely like the whole combining and making... just some kind of combo of all these cards that are existent right now. It's definitely cool. And I think 1 mana is a good spot, too, just to try to do something cool.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so we've got one last one from Jackie. It is a hero. It's a Deathstalker hero. So we've got Gul'dan. Wow, that's like cool. It's a pretty cool picture. It's a 7 mana, obviously, Warlock card, Deathstalker, Gul'dan. It's... rare? Is this supposed to be rare?
Oh yeah, it shouldn't be rare. It should be legendary. But yeah, I was trying to think of a way of what the hero cards could potentially be for the classes, or what like some cool ideas for the classes would be. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to think of like the kind of Warlock is obviously in a really bad place right now, but they're very good at removing things and very bad at healing. So having a kind of a hero power that allows Warlock to have some kind of heal, I think is pretty cool. So it's basically you play it for 7 mana and then it freezes all the enemy minions, and then you have a passive hero power. So every time a minion dies, it restores 1 health to your hero. So things like Hellfire Potion, which kind of kill you, are not going to kill you quite so much.
Okay. I like it.
This is really interesting. Yeah.
So Battlecry frees all enemy minions and hero power passive effect. Every time a minion dies, restore 1 health to your hero. It's very Lich King too. So I actually like it. I think it's really, really cool.
Wouldn't it be crazy if this really was the hero power?
We would like, go. Dun. Jackie's working for them.
I'm Jackie's the leak. Jackie's the mole, guys. He's the mole.
Well, he's fired now, at least, right?
That's right. So the vindictive ex-employee. Yeah, this is cool. I like it. Yeah, I think it's exactly what they would need. And you could start playing things like Councilman. Is Councilman still in there? Is Councilman still in there, right? Yeah. Councilman's still in there.
Yeah.
You can play things like maybe not Councilman, but what creates additional minions these days? Like maybe Imp Master, what else?
Forbidden Ritual.
Forbidden Ritual.
Yeah, Forbidden Ritual.
Forbidden Ritual.
So you could play it in Zoo, I guess? Or is that?
No, I mean, you play it in like
you would not really want to throw. Yeah, you don't want to throw it like
before your Twist Another turn.
Yeah.
Or like coin it out before your Abyssal Enforcer or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to throw yourself.
Or like you play it on 7 and then on turn 8 you like play Twilight Drake and Shadow Flame it, or like stuff like that.
Yeah. Or even just like into Nether, right? Scribbling
into
Nether.
Yeah, just into Nether.
Yeah. Every time a minion dies, holy crap. That's like, I was thinking about just friendly minions. All minions.
Yeah, it might
holy
be too good.
That's like great, dude. That's like
it's only 1 health.
No, I think it's great.
I like it.
I think it's good. Yeah. But not like overpowered or anything.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff, man. Well, thanks everybody for writing in your cards. And if we didn't get to your cards today, you know, try to resubmit those again. Like, we try to pick ones each week. I know there's been one of you guys at least that's resubmitted a couple times, but you know, go ahead and do it again if you want to try to get it in there. We try to pick, you know, ones that have interesting discussion topics and things like that, and we try to do, you know, 4 or 5 of them each week. We've been getting a lot of submissions, so you know, be patient. We'll definitely try to get to you guys. Go ahead and email those to valuetown@chamanv.tv, as well as any questions, because we're about to do Q&A now. But you know, all those things I go through and we definitely try to add it to the show. So really love doing it. It's been really, really fun getting a chance for you guys to, you know, again, interact with us in that way. And you guys have some great ideas too. So it's so good. All right. Q&A time for emails. Sizzle55. He says, good day. I love the show. I'm a new listener, but I started downloading an episode on Podbean. He has a question. So I was wondering if your thoughts on the future expansion. If we don't see new mechanics added to the game, do you think Team 5 will release an expansion with new quest and or hero cards, or add them together and have quest hero decks? Is it possible that Team 5 will keep quest cards linked in Un'Goro and hero cards linked to Frost Throne? I don't see this being the case with hero cards, as two more classes are still in WoW. On a side note, do you think that Team 5 watches Game of Thrones? I just find it funny how Game of Thrones will be coming out this Sunday, and the next expansion is Frozen Thrones, as they have a lot of similar things in each of them. I say yes. That's why they totally did this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of the members of Team 5 are Game of Thrones fans.
I'm sure they are. I don't know if they planned it exactly like this.
I think they wanted it.
Do you think so? Oh man, it's definitely great timing. Obviously, with winter is here, type of thing.
It's not coming anymore.
Good point. Maybe they didn't. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that makes a lot more sense, right? I mean,
they're like, let's go. Oh, Game of Thrones comes out in July. Why not? It's like, oh yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. But what if they did a cross promotion? How awesome would that be?
Oh my god.
Oh my god. The Lich King shows up in episode 3 or 4, fighting at the wall. Oh my god, that'd be freaking amazing!
I mean, in the video for the Ice Cream Citadel, like he looks like
kind of like him, right?
You know what I mean? Like,
I can see some like the cosplay of some Comic Con going to the Ice Cream Citadel. That'd be great.
Oh yeah,
you know, someone's just like a White Walker.
Dude, totally.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh man, that'd be so great.
The Lich King actually looks like who's Cersei's bodyguard? You know,
the mountain.
Yeah, doesn't he kind of look similar to the mountain? Yeah, maybe.
Skinny version of the mountain, maybe.
Yeah.
The helmet looks kind of like it. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But on the subject of the question.
Yeah. Exactly, man.
You could talk about Game of Thrones for days.
Yeah, I know, right? This can extend too long. I don't think they're going to do any more quests at any time soon. I think they've said that, right? Mm-hmm. But the concept of having like a quest hero is actually really cool. Like, so when you play your quest, you also turn into the hero with the new hero power, and like the whole time you're like this new hero trying to complete your quest. Like, I don't think they have any plans to do it, but it would be cool. It seems fun.
I think it would be really nice. I find it hard. I would be surprised if they did, but
it's something that's out there, and I mean, it's not impossible for them to do. So, I mean, maybe not anytime soon, but I could definitely see that.
The struggle would be, though, the quest is obviously so cheap, and then we think that the alternate heroes, actually, we don't really know how expensive.
Well, we know one, right? One is...
Yeah, we only know one.
We know one is, what, 7
and
mana?
It's 7?
No, it's 6.
6,
right? 6, okay. Yeah. So it'd be hard to balance, like, being able to play the quest on the first turn, but also not making it too broken because the other, you know, hero portraits are going to be more expensive. So it'd be hard to balance, but I just still think it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's... I don't think they're going to bring out any more quests anytime soon, but I actually think hero cards is something that we could see more of.
Maybe,
because like you can have like a Deathstalker Rexxar or something. You could also have like a Fairy Rexxar. I don't know. So that's something else.
Fairy Rexxar?
No, just for example, like maybe because like hero powers are something that there's so much room for experimenting with, like different mana costs, for example, passive hero powers. So many, there's so much potential with hero powers that is kind of untapped. So I don't think hero powers is something that is only going to be from this expansion. I think we could see more hero cards in the future.
I think they're probably going to see like how this goes. And then if it goes over really well, I could just see them making a lot more hero cards, like maybe a couple per expansion, kind of like how Magic does Planeswalkers as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's an easier way than adding a whole new class to the game. So it's a nice compromise, I think, to doing that. And it's something that's not there forever either. You know, they can actually just retire it after a year, or they can immediately just take it away. So I agree. You know, I think changing the hero power actually changes the class quite a bit at times, depending on what it is. Mm-hmm. So I'd definitely love to see that. I'm glad they're actually finally going down that route. Okay, Ahmed N, which is our regular, greetings from the land of ancient watchers. As Lich King is one of the greatest characters in Warcraft, what is a great thematic design you would like it to be? I guess what design would we like to have, I guess, or what Lich King does? Mine would be that it gives you the Frostmourne weapon that resurrects minions you kill with it to your side. Okay.
So he's asking just the design for the card?
I think design... The Lich King card? So Lich King is going to be a card, right? Like, he's definitely a boss in the dungeon.
Yeah.
And I think he is a card too, right? Is what they said.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so I think that's the most logical one, right? Given that that's what he does with his weapon, is just whoever dies that turn or whatever just comes back to life and is on your side of the board.
I think it would have to be something with like Frostmourne, right? Because like it's so iconic.
Mm-hmm. So anything you kill with Frostmourne comes back to life on your side. That'd be interesting.
That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be so good. That's like mind control. Like,
that's really good.
Yeah, you might get another 10 mana greedy card for your deck, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
If it was too good, though, I guess you'd have to take like a lot of damage. You know, like if you had to finish off killing a Sharge or something,
you're gonna
take 10 to the face. So actually, maybe.
What's another thing we could do? I was thinking like, you know, Lich King is a bit of a body snatcher too. I wonder if we could do something with that too. Like he could you know, take the body of something that's already on the board. And I mean, I wouldn't want to assume that body because that would be probably tiny, right? It's going to be smaller than what he is. So I don't think you would necessarily do that, but maybe you could, I don't know, just absorb it, sacrifice it or something. And you know, like the theme would be you just go into the body and then it just like, I guess, explodes or just ends up becoming you type of thing.
I mean, you can like destroy a minion and gain health, like equal to something.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah. It's not as interesting as the other one. The other one is.
Yeah, it definitely isn't.
Yeah. Maybe more practical though.
Yeah. I mean, I like that one. I like the Frostmourne being part of it. That's definitely cool.
Another thing you could do is like maybe as like a battle cry where you play him and then he freezes and corrupts all minions. And then like the next turn or something, when they die, they get resummoned on your side of the board or something like that.
Oh my God.
That sounds brutal.
That sounds so uninteractive. I don't know.
That sounds great.
That sounds like, man, I just lose if you have a Lich King in your hand. But okay, well, hopefully that answers your question on this. That's a pretty interesting question. But yeah, I think that's going to be it for just all the emails, and that's going to be it for the show too. So Ant, man, thanks for stopping by and hanging out with us. Thanks for being patient too, given that we got it off to a little bit later start.
Yeah,
hope you had fun.
No problem. Yeah, I did, definitely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We should have you on again sometime. Do you have any shout-outs you want to do? Like, where can people find you?
Twitter, @_HS. Twitch, @_HS. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Seems good.
Yeah. It's good to have the same ones for all of them. That's definitely great.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, definitely check him out, guys. He's, you know, he streams, actually. You stream every day, right? I think
Every day except for Friday.
Okay, every day except for Friday. Yeah, definitely tune in there. And of course, we don't talk to you. Well, I'm sure we'll talk to you before then. But good luck at World Champions if we championships if we don't see you.
DreamHack. No, I was gonna say
DreamHack. Oh yeah, DreamHack. Yeah, you don't need luck at DreamHack. You're just gonna win, that. Okay. You're just gonna win that, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that. And then I'll be on next week, right?
That's when true. I get back. You'll be on next week. Then we'll see you like immediately after. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I like that.
Man. Jackie, you want to do some shout outs?
Yeah. Shout out to Team Fate Karma. Check out my Twitter F2K_Jackie where I post all my wacky deck lists, etc. Anyone who's watching the stream right now, I'm going to be streaming after this, continuing my Wacky Wednesday. So feel free to hang around afterwards. And thank you to Chanman for being a great host as usual.
Oh, thanks, man. Oh, appreciate sweet. That. Allie?
Yeah, just F2K_Allie is my Twitter, and twitch.tv/AllieStradas, my Twitch channel. Thank you to the patrons. We love you. Yeah. Thank you for allowing us to do what we do. We appreciate the support. Anyone who's watching, that's all I got. But thanks, guys.
Awesome, and I'll wrap things up by thanking the three of you guys for doing the show. It was a great time today, and everybody else for being patient too and watching. You can find the VODs on youtube.com/ChamManV if you missed any of it, or any of the previous episodes too. They're all there if you want to watch it. If you want to listen to it, we're also on iTunes. You can listen, download all the previous episodes there, as well as SoundCloud and Google Play if you have an Android device too. And obviously, I want to reiterate thanks to all the patrons for supporting the show. Again, like, it wouldn't happen without you guys. So you are awesome. And participate in Deck of the Week if you can, because we've been having a lot of fun getting a chance to hang out with people. We're going to do one during the a little bit earlier on Monday, just so the European folks will get a chance this week. So stay tuned for that. You can follow us all on Twitter here, and we'll be posting it. You can follow the show on Twitter @ValueTownGG. And that's going to be it. Oh, so next week, guys, I'm going to be on vacation on Wednesday, so we're going to actually pre-record a show, and then Jackie's probably going to play it on his channel like at the normal time. So if it seems like, I don't know, we're a day behind, or we're, maybe something big comes out Tuesday night and we totally missed it, that's the reason. So just here to let you guys know, because the next week after that, I'm going to actually be gone, and then we'll be back refreshed and ready to go with all the new cards to discuss, because we've got weeks and weeks of card reviews I'm sure we're going to be doing. So that's going to be it, guys, for Value Town. And Jackie Chan, Ali Straza, and to myself, Champion V, we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Later.
See ya.